Welcome to the Everything Coworking Podcast, where you learn what you need to know about how the world wants to work. And now your host, coworking space owner and trend expert, Jamie Russo.
Welcome to the Everything Coworking Podcast, episode number 50. This is a special anniversary episode. And in light of our anniversary, I'd like to ask a favor. If you are a listener and you get something out of the show, please go to iTunes and leave us a review. Give us a rating and then write some comments, and that'll help us show up more easily in the search results when people search for coworking podcasts. We would really appreciate that. So today we're going to talk about suburban coworking with Mara Hauser. But before we jump in, I have a couple of things to go over. First, I want to tell you about Spare Desk. As more and more freelancers and professionals become untethered to a corporate campus, they are embracing their mobility and the ability to work from anywhere around the world. Spare Desk launched earlier this year and is becoming the platform for freelancers and digital nomads to find great places to work, wherever they want to work. Spare Desk has thousands of active users who browse and book desks in over 35 cities every day. If you want to show up in those search results, get your space listed today at sparedesk.co/spaces. That's sparedesk.co/spaces. And lastly, before we get started, if you run a shared workspace or thinking about starting one, or you're an investor or an asset owner, a corporate user of shared workspaces, a commercial real estate professional, or a service provider in the industry, you should not miss the Global Workspace Association's annual conference. It is the place to be the part of the conversation as we move into coworking 3.0. This year, the content themes are focused around meet the money, meet the corporate user, and manage into coworking 3.0. Register today at conference.globalworkspace.org. Okay, let's jump in. Welcome to the podcast today. I'm here with Mara Hauser, who is the founder and CEO of 25 North Coworking, with locations in Geneva and Arlington Heights, Illinois. Mara is also on the board of the Global Workspace Association. And in addition to starting 25 North, Mara is the president of Workplace Studios and has over 25 years of experience in designing and optimizing workspaces. She has overseen the creation of spaces ranging from corporate headquarters to banks to large offices and institutional facilities. And through her extensive list of projects, she's seen firsthand the positive impact a well-planned space can have on culture, innovation, efficiency, and productivity. And through this lens, she creates vibrant shared workspaces in suburban downtowns. So we're going to talk to her today about her experience in developing and growing suburban coworking spaces and her perspective on the future of suburban coworking. Mara, thanks for joining me today.
Thrilled to be here.
Mara's actually in Michigan today. It's spring break, so she's doing a little workation. Do you have any co-working spaces nearby where you are in Michigan?
No. There is a coffee shop that is closed for the winter season. Grab their laptops and hang out at.
So the home office it is.
Home office, yep.
Okay. Well, thanks for taking a little break or a little time out to join us. So tell us about, I give a little bit of background, but fill us in on your professional background and then how you got into co-working.
Sure. So my background is really focused on corporate design, as you mentioned. And most of the companies we serve are enterprise companies with multiple 10 or more locations. And so really got into the whole idea of corporate co-working and what that could do to the bottom line, how that helps save dollars and real estate, facility needs, human resources, lots of other things, but still trying to keep a connection of the employees to the company. And of course, understanding the changes now in the workplace. So there's five generations in the workforce today. There are people who are out most of the time in the office or some people who are in most of the time, and the real need to connect those people to each other, even when they're out and about. And also, you know, with the use of technology, a lot of people have better technology than the companies do. So how do office designs accommodate the need for, you know, the 20, 30-something-year-olds coming into the office space and wanting to work in places that were similar to their college experience or, you know, kind of their personal needs for doing work and having the balance of their life at the same time. And then, of course, we have introverts, extroverts, lots of different people who come into a corporate environment. How do you satisfy all of their needs for both collaboration, individual working, one-on-one type settings? So a lot of that helps, you know, obviously in the design of strategy for workplace in the corporate world. How does that then work for the independents that are out there today? So that was kind of, you know, where my background came and it's built into the whole co-working, not just for corporations, but how do we do that in the design setting for independents or small businesses?
Yeah, I think your background is really unique and important for co-working. I think over the last 10 years, we've certainly gotten to a place where there's a lot more thought given to design. But, you know, sort of the first phase was coming at it from a community perspective, which didn't always result in necessarily the best design for people to get stuff done and be productive. And so you're really going at it from both angles. Like, how do we bring people together and give them a place to connect outside of a corporate office or a home office, but also how do we design that really well? And even, I would guess in your case, to give them the experience that they might be used to in a corporate office and not make that gap so wide.
Right. The really big thing was creating zones where they can connect with each other. And it's like taking someone from the finance department and someone from the marketing or sales department, who usually on a day-to-day, you know, experience mm-hmm. within a corporation would never have to talk to each other or see each other, but yet they can really help each other with different parts of the organization. So same thing. How do you find someone who is an accounting, an individual accountant, and then someone who's an outside salesperson for a big corporation? Where do they meet and how can they help support each other? What kind of feedback or information can they give to each other in a co-working setting? So very similar culturally as well.
So talk about kind of, I mean, I know you live in the suburbs, but talk about kind of your passion for doing this in the suburbs. And you have kind of a particular model about focusing on like more vibrant downtown locations.
So, right, living in the suburbs doesn't have always the most innovative or inspirational workspaces or places to go, except coffee shops or libraries and hotels, that type of thing. But, you know, I was a working mom, always was, and I always thought it was important to be able to do things with your family and in your community as well. So the idea really came from finding a downtown suburban location that had maybe underutilized or needed some assistance in helping turn it around in an economic development way, and putting in a workspace that would be vibrant, have hundreds of people that would be coming to the downtown on a regular basis, not just every once in a while, and kind of turn around that area of the downtown, but giving the people who come to work there a place close to home where they could go, be inspired, work, but yet still go to the soccer game after school or go to the meeting with the teacher if you needed to, or, you know, even just have lunch with your friends that might live in the neighborhood, but at least, you know, going back to work. We have tons of moms who have found this really inspiring as well. So we'll come, stay at home, get the kids off to school, come into our workspace, and then, you know, make sure they're done and leave before they get home from the bus or have to do their carpools, depending on the age of the kids, of course. So it's really something that I had this vision for, you know, obviously using myself as an example, but really thinking there have to be more people than myself who would love this opportunity, both men and women.
Yeah, I think the opportunity for suburban co-working community is so strong and different from urban locations, because in urban locations, you get people from all over the city who probably don't live next to each other and sort of share that connection. And in the suburbs, people share a lot of connections. Kids may go to the same school, they may use the same banks and, you know, get their nails done at the same place, like just a lot of things in common. And you just extend that connection. And they may not know each other already, but they already have kind of common ground. And I just think sort of that interweaving that community component just can have so much power in a suburban location that's not quite as, doesn't quite have the same potential in an urban location.
Absolutely agree. And the thing too, in suburban locations is people are there for longer. You know, we don't have right. lease better up every
right.
year.
Yep.
So the retention is better. But other than that, the word spreads. People say, hey, I'm at this great workspace. I get tons done there. Or they'll find out someone else, has the ability to work from home. And it's great because we have our members all talking about our spaces and sharing that with all their friends too.
Yeah.
Just letting everyone know they're so proud of it. Like, hey, I work right in our community. Here we are.
Right. And you can support the other local businesses that are, and I know you do a lot with that, which we can talk about in a little bit. So give an overview just so everybody listening can sort of picture, where are your locations? What are they, how big are they, kind of size? What does the mix look like in terms of private versus open versus meeting space?
Sure. So Geneva is in the downtown Central Business District. We are a central location in the west suburbs for lots of different towns that kind of call them the Tri-Cities. So there's Batavia, Geneva, St. Charles, which altogether the population of those three is around 80,000.
Okay. I was just going to look that up. And you're how many miles from Chicago?
So we're about 50 miles from Chicago, and we are off of a major train line. So there's a stop in Geneva, which is part of also the draw. So it's a commuter town, but it's a little bit further out commuter town. It's not the last stop on the line, but it's there. We are a 7-minute walk to the train station. So we do get people who don't want to commute sometimes who come to work there. But we also get people who come in from the city to meet in our location, which is great, too. We're on the river, we're on the Fox River, so people can bike to work, run to work, take the train or drive, which is great. We are in, like I said, the downtown. It's a real vibrant community. It is well known for, has won lots of awards for best of whatever, small towns, but it has fabulous restaurants. It has all the local things in the downtown, the dry cleaner, the nail salon, several workout facilities, and there's a hotel right across the street from where our location is, which actually is great for us as well. And lots of great, fun, community-driven things with the Chamber of Commerce and the Rotary and Lions Clubs and all those type of things. So that's kind of the community. There's a vibrant historic district in the downtown, so it is a residential neighborhood as well. But there are also outlying communities like subdivisions that are further away from the downtown. So what it does is it also helps draw people from those subdivisions into the Central Business District. And of course, from these other towns too. Interestingly enough, in Geneva, we have people that come to work there from 27 different towns. So not
is that right?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's amazing.
It's a really great statistic. And, people want a really great place to work. And, Geneva's kind of a central location. It doesn't have a highway off of it, which is different. So it's not easy to get to by driving.
Yeah.
It's like 18 miles from either way, north or south from interstates.
Yeah.
So, but that just means that, within that zone of interstates, there's still a need, people still work there. And I think it's the train line that's really more of the draw for us. So that's one thing on that. We recently moved because we outgrew our first location and we've been open almost 2.5 years now. So that was very interesting. But what we did is we outgrew our private offices and our dedicated desks and our meeting rooms really started to pick up. They were a little bit slower than our urban co-working friends to start using and getting those marketed, but the workspace was not a problem. So we moved actually over Thanksgiving weekend and added 5 private offices and 6 dedicated desks. And a few months later, actually, we only have 1 private office that's available.
Great.
And
how many square feet is the total space?
The primary 2-story location is just under 10,000 square feet.
Yep.
We do have an additional 4,000 square feet that we hosted a team for 9 months and are now refreshing it and going to put that back on the market here in the next month and a half or two. So we will have a total of just under 15,000 square feet.
Yep. Wow.
So that will add another 10 private offices for us. So we felt like that was a giant need.
Mm-hmm.
And in our dedicated desks, We actually have only two available right now. One being the designer, I'll share with you. It's in a really high traffic area. And I don't know that that one will ever go. So maybe turning it into a printing station or something a little different might be helpful. But something you need to think about in design. And the other one, we actually, the private office that's available had a dedicated desk right outside of it. And the two of them actually just left last month. So those two are kind of available, and maybe another team will get those two spaces again. But we've already outgrown, you know, what we expanded to, which is why we're now going to add the 5,000 square feet.
Right? I love it. Yeah. And so then, so you have, what is the sort of breakdown in terms of percentage of the total space of private space, open space, and dedicated desks?
So 2.5 years ago, this is a good trend that was a design trend. So 2.5 years ago, when we first created our first space, we had a 70-30 mix. We had a 70% open space and a 30% closed.
Okay.
But when we moved over, we changed that.
Yep.
So we actually have close to 35-40% of closed space. And our open space, I consider meeting rooms, flex, cafe, all the other spaces.
Okay. Too. And dedicated desks. So really private office is the 40%.
Yes.
Okay. Interesting. Mm-hmm. But you still, I mean, yeah, that's still for, given the fact that co-working in suburban locations is still fairly new and you're still doing a lot of educational work, that's fantastic to be filling that space. And then you just opened a new space in Arlington Heights.
So, correct. We opened Arlington Heights, which is our second location, on January 15th. So we're really fresh at that. And really opened our doors to the public on February 1st. And that space is under 12,000 square feet. And we have probably a 35-65... We have similar ratio of private offices, team rooms to open space. And we are already 33%, we're like 25-30% sold of our private spaces. And we have a different combination of dedicated desks there. We actually have premier dedicated and regular dedicated. Mm. So Premier Dedicated have more storage in them, and we have a different sell price for those than we do our standard dedicated desks.
Yep, that's a good idea.
And the Premier Dedicated are overwhelmingly more popular.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
So that's really great. Talk about, and how far is Arlington Heights from Chicago?
So Arlington Heights is about 35 miles from Chicago. It's a northwest suburb. Yep. So Geneva is a due west, like 0 degrees out just west. And Arlington Heights is northwest. And it is also on the train line. There are two train stops in Arlington Heights. We are on the Arlington Park racetrack stop. We're a 10-minute walk from there. A unique setting. Arlington Heights has a really, really vibrant downtown. It's very, it has great shops, restaurants. There's a lot of living condos, apartments, like $1 million condos in downtown Arlington Heights. They have a theater, lots of great things. But we could not find a space with 10,000 square feet. So there is a development just outside of the downtown, still in a central business district, a little bit further outside of the main central business district, that is under development, which will be Arlington Downs, which is a whole community. It'll be restaurants, shops, it'll have hotels, and it is a really great little area off of a major intersection highway and the train stop, although it's probably not bikeable, you know, to like as Geneva was.
Yep.
But it has great parking and some other things. Our space is actually the first floor retail space of a high-rise luxury residential building, which is also a little bit different. There will be another residential tower that will be built in the next 2 years on the property, and like I said, this other commercial development. So we're kind of the beginning of what will be another central business district in Arlington Heights. So again, underutilized, an area that we want to draw a lot of people to, and we'll have a lot of the same amenities, but they're all within 5 minutes of, you know, the downtown too.
So do you have foot traffic where you are?
We do not.
Okay. Not yet.
Not yet.
Yep.
And that's the goal.
Do the developers have plans for other retail, like coffee shops, restaurants? Yes, that'll bring that in. Yep. Exactly. And you found these developers, you were sort of hustling and looking for a space and telling everyone you knew you wanted space, and the economic development group connected, or the chamber connected you with the developers?
Economic development, absolutely. So I actually honed in on this development and saw what was in the works, and having been familiar with Arlington Heights too, you know, previously the economic development team had been helping us to try to find some spaces and connected us on some properties and ideas and so forth. And I mentioned this, so they actually arranged our first meeting with the owners of the development. And then history. So.
Yeah, I mean, I love this lesson because I think, I mean, it may be more common than I think for folks in smaller markets to work with their local chamber and economic but you know, do it. Do not hesitate to go in. And I always think like, oh, I don't want to do anything public. This is all a private business. I want it, but like they can make connections that you may just otherwise not have.
Yes. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So this will be, Mara and I talked, I mean, so she's retail level in a luxury high rise building, which is, you know, an emerging model we're seeing happening a lot, and you're seeing some value. They're starting to, you mentioned kind of separate, in a separate conversation, they're touring the residences and there's starting to be some synergy between people sort of really interested in the fact that there's a workspace in the building.
Absolutely. And plus, we as co-working get the benefit of what the building amenities are. So for example, we have a premier membership and our members can use the health book.
Oh, brilliant.
They have a golf simulator. They have bike repair shop bike. They have underground parking if anyone wanted that. They have a music recording studio in the building.
Really?
And then they have an amazing roof deck too. So we have that available to our members to use for themselves as well as renting the roof deck for a party.
Okay. Great. Yep. Yeah. That's just such a win-win. And I know you have a great relationship with the developer and so tons of synergies there. And I think a model we'll start to see. And I should have mentioned in the show notes, this is going to be episode number 50. So it'll be everythingcoworking.com/50 in the show notes. I will absolutely link to Mara's website so you can see some beautiful images. Her spaces are gorgeous. You can imagine she's a designer and she has lots of experience and knows what she's doing. And then also, we'll link to, there's a recent New York Times article about co-working spaces in luxury buildings. So I think Mara's an example of that. So we'll link to that article as well if you want to take a look at that trend. So what are some of the, I mean, I think there are some positive things we've been talking about being in suburban locations. Are there any sort of unique challenges that you've come across that you think sort of compared to your urban counterparts?
Yes. There are basically like some of the awareness building was a really big issue that we had. So yeah, awareness is huge. I mean, you know, in the urban centers, I think that, you know, co-working is something that everyone's more aware of, but co-working was not something that the generations in the suburbs, even though we have 5 generations in our workforce, were really comfortable or familiar with. And I think one of the other big things was, you know, one of our biggest competitors wasn't co-working spaces, but it was the local building owners who had one office, two office spaces.
Yep. Which, more common in the suburbs.
Exactly. Yep. So, you know, they'd always rent like, oh, here's one room or here's one person offices. And, you know, all of a sudden, you know, co-working, they didn't even really know about that. And they have some shared amenities. Some of them have a shared meeting room. Some of them have, you know, a shared kitchen area or something like that. But that was really, I think, you know, having real estate brokers or the community of real estate understand what we were doing, we got a lot of pushback on that. So that was one thing. The other thing is, you know, advertising, marketing, getting the word out, it was a real guerrilla marketing affair. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I guess I would call it that because, you know, just to build that awareness, to build it and to say, you know, try it. You know, we tested a couple different things. You know, we put some ads in some subdivision magazines. You know, people could look at it. But, you know, the rule of thumb is that people have to see things like three times before it really kicks in.
Yep.
But so it wasn't anything that was fast. And although there was walk-by traffic in Geneva, people still would look in the windows and they thought, oh, we're selling office furniture.
They just still didn't get it. Yeah.
Yeah. So we wound up putting signage. Well, what we did is we wound up, I had an advisory board meeting. I was like, okay, how are we going to make sure everyone knows when they go by what we do in there? So, you know, the logo was out there. The sign was out there. Our website was kind of there. So we wound up putting statements, lettering on the windows that talked about innovative workspace, private offices, meeting rooms, you know, office services, Wi-Fi, you know, like just kind of putting some names, some words on the glass. So when they walked by, they would get what we did inside.
Yeah. Wait, so in Geneva, is Geneva still a retail level location?
So Geneva is still first floor retail.
Okay.
Yes, but it is in an office building now more than a retail space.
Got
it. So that's a little bit better. And it's funny, we only moved two blocks away, literally walking just a stone's throw away.
Mm-hmm.
And within the first 2 weeks we were there, we had all these people say, where were you? Where did you come from? I never even knew you were here.
You're two blocks away, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, in urban locations, I think people, operators are more focused on, you know, making sure they have their, people are searching for them. So they just need to have their SEO and their sort of digital advertising spend lined up the right way. And they're probably in a, you know, a larger building. They don't have retail level space. So they can do some more scalable things around marketing, but you are like in hustle mode and trying to use your available window real estate. And then I know you do a lot with events to try to draw people into the space to really experience it. Can you talk about, well, one, your, is it catch pitch? Or did I
pitching
get it?
Catch.
Yeah, okay. Pitching catch.
Yeah.
And then this is not really a marketing thing, but I like it that you do it. I think it's a unique suburban thing is your lunch partnerships that you do.
Yeah. So one of the, you know, our model is really focused on economic development in three ways, you know, so one, to build the members who come to work there every day. The second thing is to help build a local economy. And the third thing is to create an innovation hub in the downtown suburban area of wherever we go. So the second part of that is the local businesses. So we partner with only local business and local business owned locations in everything that we do. So one of the things we do is we do lunch partnerships, and every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, we have a lunch partner, and we have six different restaurants that we rotate with, and we bring lunch in for our members. You know, they get charged on their charge cards, but we post the menu up for the day. Everyone kind of knows what it is. We have a refined menu of maybe six items all around the same price. And they give us their orders, and our community manager places the orders by 11, and then the restaurant delivers to us at noon. So besides giving business to local businesses, it's a great way to form community around a meal.
Mm-hmm.
That's just huge. You know, people need to take a break or take a lunch, and sometimes they'll take it back to their desks if they need to, but you still have to come down and get it. You know, we don't deliver it to them, and that gives them a little break away from their desk. Plus, it helps build the local businesses, and many of our members have now either go to these restaurants or have catering or other services with these restaurants, you know, that are outside of 25 North. So that's really great for them. So that's one thing we do. You know, we also do catering with local businesses. We also we have business mentors and coaches that come in to our members, and they are typically local small business development centers or other services that are available that maybe people didn't even know were out there. So we're bringing them to them as members to host in our space so they can, you know, obviously get the benefits of those partnerships.
Yep.
So that's really great. Right? We also do events. We try to have two events a week.
Okay.
Whether they're educational, networking, or, you know, obviously business building type things. And one of our signature events, like you said, is called the Pitch and Catch. And it's every month, 25 North does this, but now we'll be rotating between Arlington Heights and Geneva. So one will be in Arlington Heights a month, and the next month will be in Geneva. But we have three members who can get up and give a practice pitch. So it's 5 minutes, and I give them an outline that we've developed, which is either they could do one of three things, a financial pitch, a growth opportunity pitch, or a sales pitch. And we time them at 5 minutes. And the idea really behind it is to give them a venue and an opportunity to practice their pitching. And so the audience, which is open to the public, and it gets published in the local newspapers, the chamber newsletters, all types of things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then we, you know, put people in our audience. So we have investors, we have financial consultants, marketing consultants, lots of different people, you know, in there, whether they're banks or attorneys and accountants, who listen in, and then the format gives them 20 minutes of feedback. So the audience is open to discuss the pitch and give them guidance, direction, feedback, whatever it might be, so that when they go to do their real pitch, they have this information and can, you know, be better at it, I hope. So it's really great.
Yeah, great for the members and a way to bring folks into the space in a really meaningful way.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. I love that. So, I mean, you are having a great experience with suburban co-working. I'm sure it's not without its challenges, but you just expanded into Arlington Heights. And suburban co-working seems to be growing along with the industry in general. Do you think we've hit a tipping point for more suburban co-working success, or kind of how far are we away from that?
Well, it has to be the right suburb. You know, it has to be the right size. So there's still some volume, you know, that can get. Which I think the density is really what makes urban co-working really successful. So we still have to think about that. And of course, you know, what your market is. So, you know, there's a lot of successful suburban co-working spaces who are either maker spaces or focused on a particular industry, more niche co-working. So I think I believe it's there. Obviously, I'm very interested in even expanding our locations. So we are working on that. But to find the correct, proper location, you know, with the right mix is the key. And I think, too, you know, there's a lot of people who will be moving out to the suburbs who might be working in urban locations right now or starting a family or kind of nestling into what the next phase of their careers or lives might be. And co-working could give them an option. You know, so do we build it before they come? Do we build it when they're there? You know, there's a couple different ways to think about that. But
if someone is thinking about opening a suburban co-working location, what's kind of one big piece of advice that you would give them as they're working through their process?
Get connected with the community. Get really connected. Know the community. Know what makes them tick. Work with the local chambers. You know, they know lots of things going on, economic development and other business people there to, one, really, you know, find out if it's a viable community for co-working and to get their support in your co-working space. I think those are the really big things.
Great advice. Mara, thank you so much for sharing your time and your insights and your experience. If people want to learn more about 25 North and about you, where can they find you online?
You can email me directly at mara@25ncoworking.com, or you can go to our website, which is actually, like Jamie said, it's a great place to learn more about 25 North. And there's an easy form that you can fill out online to either contact us as well. So lots of great options.
Awesome.
We have Twitter, we have Instagram, we have a LinkedIn profile. Lots of ways you can learn more about 25 North and kind of see the fun things we do. But again, open to having anyone contact me if they'd like.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. It was great to have you join us today and take a break from your workation. So we appreciate your time and hope to talk to you again soon.
Thanks so much.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of Everything Coworking. Be sure to click the subscribe button so you can stay up to date on the latest trends and how-tos. Until next time.